Hurricane Isabel is closing in on the East Coast. Hamad Patel, who owns a small grocery store in Virginia Beach, Virginia, says they waited until the last minute to board up the store.
Yeah, just boarding up everything, ready to go home. I just waited till this morning, and now we're going to board up and leave. Hopefully, when we come back, everything will be fine.
Forecasters say Isabel remains a Category 2 system with maximum sustained winds of 105 miles an hour. Isabel is expected to make landfall by midday tomorrow somewhere along the North Carolina coastline. More than 2 years after 9/11, the world's most wanted terrorist has been formally charged for his alleged role in the attacks against New York and Washington, D.C. A Spanish high court judge has officially charged 35 men, including al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden and a well-known journalist for the Arab TV network Al Jazeera, with involvement in planning the murders of more than 3,000 people. The judge has ordered Interpol to arrest bin Laden and extradite him to Spain, a task not even the most powerful military force on the face of the planet and has been able to accomplish as of yet. In addition, the court has asked the Yemeni government to reconsider the scheduled execution of a Spanish citizen who it claims can produce evidence to back up Spain's charges against the dozens charged.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke-free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke-free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke-free, completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
A man believed to be armed has taken a group of students hostage at a community college in western Tennessee. The situation is taking place at Dyersburg State Community College. Dyersburg Mayor Bill Revelle says this has never happened to his community before.
We're not used to anything like this in our community, and I didn't think that this would ever come to our community.
Mayor Revelle says the college holds 2,600 students and that the incident is taking place in a math class. He says security and police have the building surrounded and a hostage negotiating team is in place. Iraq's interim governing council is urging the United States to loosen its grip on the country in order to end the post-war violence. The council is calling on Washington to give Iraqis control of their country. The interim president of the council contends problems of security are huge, and it is in large measure because Iraqis are not involved in security issues. The plea comes on the very day an audio tape said to be from Saddam Hussein was aired by an Arabic television channel. The speaker on the poor quality tape calls for the unconditional withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq and for Iraqis to wage holy war against the, quote, foolish invaders.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The foundation created by Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates has announced plans to spend over $70 million to create new high schools around the nation. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation says the money will continue their small schools initiative. Foundation Executive Director Tom Vander Ark says despite the tough economy, the group still has plenty of money to spend.
The Bill and Melinda Gates made a significant contribution of about $24 billion to create their foundation. And so even in these tough times, there are dollars to give away.
Gates himself traveled to New York City today to announce the creation of 67 high schools in the city. Vander Ark says the foundation is hoping to turn around historically poor graduation rates in the nation. Weakness in technology and oil shares offset gains by Altria Group to lead stocks lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 22 points to 95.46. The Nasdaq slipped 4 points to 1883. The S&P 500 dropped 3 points to 1026. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi,
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Can you hear me? Oh, my God, I think I just blew up the amps, at least here. Welcome to the program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, or if you'd like to email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Have I said yet this evening, welcome to AM 1480 WSDS in Salem, Detroit? I have? I just said it? Okay, good. Also, we invite you to play political trivia next hour. You can win an autographed copy of Jim Hightower's latest book, Thieves in High Places. We've been giving away two a night, and we'll be doing that next hour and the rest of this week, too. We have some sound for you tonight. The stupidest press secretary in history, in the history of any country anywhere on the planet. That would be Scott McClellan. Some of his answers today, the press has finally figured out what you and I have known for months, that everything the Bush crime family said about the reasons for going to war were absolute lies. In fact, members of the Bush crime family are now stumbling all over themselves, from Condoleezza Rice to Dick Cheney to too stupid to be president himself, admitting that most of what we were told, all of what we were told, is lies. So we except there's one holdout, and that would be Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney still has tons and tons of money to make on war, death, and destruction in Iraq and South America. So he's still holding out. But when you hear some of the sound tonight, I think you're going to be fascinated. A couple of emails here from last night's program. Last night, when we had the past couple of nights, when we've had sound bites from Cheney and Rumsfeld, both of whom were answering, I don't know, I don't know, we don't know. I have no idea, I don't know, we don't know. And I said, God, it sounds like Colonel Klink on from Hogan's Heroes. Well, thanks to Ken and Jody in Arlington Heights. Ken, where's Ken from? Don't know. Anyway, both emailed and said it was Sergeant Schultz who knew nothing. Not Colonel Klink. All right, all right. That's very true. Well, like I wrote back to Ken, at least we had the program right. A couple of items here before we get to the really vile stuff that's going on in Washington. Are you aware of what's happening? What you're watching is the beginnings of the dissolution of this government. Truly. We're going to do it differently in this country than from how it was attempted on Clinton and how it's being done in the UK. But what we are seeing is the beginning of the end of the Bush crime family. Are you aware of that? Has that made an impression? It sure as hell has with me today. I think the well-versed and legitimate attacks that are out there now from people like Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich and Bob Graham and to a lesser extent Kerry and even lesser extent Edwards, coupled with the announcement today that Wesley Clark is going to run. And all of a sudden, it's as though the press is trying desperately to take off their pink tutus. As Bartkop says, the Democrats are pink tutu Democrats. Well, the same applies to this whorish press that we have in this country, this just vile, useless, worthless media. Especially those members of the media whose job it is to ferret out the truth. It's almost as though something is being lifted from their addled brains, and they're discovering, like I said, what you and I have known for a long time, that the Bush crime family can't respond in a manner that props up their lies, deceits, chicanery, mass murder, and deception. They can't. So they're falling back on, I don't know, and now they're falling back on, well, we never said that. All right? We'll get to that. But there's a couple of things that I've got to drop in here. First, at the State Department, in one of the hallways there, a long, busy corridor that goes from the various offices to the cafeteria, there has been for a long time a diplomatic photo exhibit. Two dozen, mostly grainy black and white shots, according to the Washington Post. They represented an historic progression of great diplomatic moments in this country's history. Now, among the items on the wall there was an original political cartoon from the Jefferson era showing Britain and France pickpocketing the Americans. Okay, that's how old some of the stuff was. There were pictures of negotiations with Indian tribes over land. There was a photograph of President Woodrow Wilson at Versailles. Former Secretary of State Elihu Root, there's a good name, Roosevelt and Churchill signing the Atlantic Charter, all kinds of photos like that. There was even one of Ronald Reagan at a meeting with a very young Colin Powell seated beside him. Now, all this progression set up in terms of the passage of time, all of a sudden these photos are all gone. They're all gone. What do you suppose was put up in their place? Well, of course, a George W. Bush family album montage of 21 large photos of this moron trying to act like a diplomat. That's what the photos are supposed to depict, apparently. There's a photo of him speaking at the United Nations. There are photos of too stupid to do anything, meeting with foreign leaders. There's several shots of Bush with the First Lady Pickles, one exiting a plane, another touring the Forum in Rome, another one visiting Japan. Now, there's one of the Bush baby meeting in happier days his very good friend Jacques Chirac, president of France, another with his even better friend Gerhard Schroeder, chancellor of Germany. You know, the old Europe, right? And then there's a shot of him yucking it up in Beijing with former Shycom boss Jiang Zemin. Now, that's what's been put up there in place. This new exhibit, according to one of the thuggish State Department flacks or shills that works for Bush, this new exhibit is part of an effort to spruce up the building, liven up the halls. No picture of Bush swimming in the Potomac, I understand, a la Mao swimming in the Yangtze River in China. I'm sure it's coming. Now, one of the shots that is working its way up to the top as a favorite, it's a shot of Bush looking out from the official limo in Beijing, and the ID placard underneath it. done typed up in the State Department that identifies the photograph says he's in Tiananmen Square, only they spell it T-I-E-N-E-M-E-N Square. Totally misspelled. It's T-I-A-N-A-N-M-E-N. But this is this not that's the proper spelling. Is this not why we part of the reason why we're in the mess we're in? These thugs from Bush down to whatever jackass typed up this little placard, they have as much business running the business of this country, domestic and foreign, as Colonel Klink did. Or was it Sergeant Schultz? Unbelievable. The arrogance of this little twerp. I'm referring to Bush. The arrogance. Take down 200 years of history. Put up pictures of me and Pickles. I don't, I got you, shoot a buck, okay. Seattle. Now, last night, was it last night, Kathy, when we were busting Alabama's chops, right? Because the Alabamians had turned down a tax increase to fund their state, and now everything is going to close down. Seattle. And remember we said last night, look, it's not just Alabama. Did you hear what happened in Seattle, Washington? In the land of Starbucks? Oh, my God. Now, Seattle is, to Seattleans, is that what you call them? There are two things there that they're real familiar with. Starbucks, of course, and Seattle's also the home of Hemp Fest. Right? That's a festival on the waterfront on a summer weekend that is used to promote liberalization of marijuana laws. Most cities have. We have it here in Atlanta. We've had hemp festivals here in Atlanta for the past 25 years. Oh yeah. You're right. Your imagination's a lot better than my vocabulary. You can imagine what it's like. Bunch of freaks out here in Piedmont Park every year smoking pot with a cop standing around going, well, get him! Bust it! Yeah, So anyway, the citizens of Seattle were asked to vote on two issues. Two issues. One had to do with reducing the importance of making marijuana busts down to about the level of a jaywalking ticket. That passed. The other issue was Initiative 77, which had become known as the latte tax. That was defeated by a 2-to-1 ratio. Now, the latte tax, Initiative 77, it was designed to provide funding for child care and preschool programs in the city of Seattle. And the issue was latte drinkers, coffee drinkers, would pony up an extra dime a cup to pay for child care and preschool programs. That went down to defeat, 2-to-1. Now, in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, there's an article about it, and they said one voter, David Busby, entered the voting booth yesterday morning and left without casting a vote one way or the other. He said, it's just too hard to decide. I can afford 10 cents on a cup of coffee. That's just 20 cents a day for me. But it's the wrong solution. It's the wrong solution to the right problem. I don't know. Now, the tax, formerly known as the Early Learning and Care Campaign, would have raised money for preschool programs and continuing education for teachers. And for Seattle coffee drinkers, it would have meant an extra dime on any cappuccino, latte, iced drink, or Americano sold at a cafe, restaurant, or coffee stand. So what are the people of Seattle saying, huh?
Yeah, we want to get high without worrying about the Gestapo, but to hell with the kids! A dime? Oh, no. Not me, Bubala.
Think of Thomas Jefferson. It makes me want to cry. To think that the chair he sat in someone could buy. George wears his faith like a money belt. But I'll pray to Mad Time instead. Please come back, Tom, and save us from King George again and his friends.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, "God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy." You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
"Wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy."
"They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha."
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
"They're coming to take me away."
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Molloy.
24 past the hour, so I'm just temporarily hung up here, okay? And I'll get over this. We'll move on with the program. But the voters in Seattle said, yes, let's make marijuana, which I agree with. Let's make marijuana very low on the priority list of things that the Seattle cops are supposed to get involved in. Okay, that's fine. But Seattle voters also said, no, we're not going to pay a dime a cup tax on our cappuccinos and lattes and iced drinks and so on and so forth for early preschool programs, child care, and continuing education for teachers to help them out. The state of Washington, like most states, is in a financial crunch. thanks to George W. Bush and the Republicans. So, you know, anything to try to raise a few bucks. Now, last night when we were bitching and moaning about the state of Alabama, Susan in Moody, Alabama, said that, you know, Mike, there's more. Here's the reason a lot of us turned it down. There's more to the story than what you're aware of. Okay. And I admit, yeah, okay, maybe it was presented wrong by the state of Alabama, by the governor, by the attorney general, and the voters over there said, to hell with this. But this one in Seattle, what a dime on a cup of coffee? Am I missing something here? Now, let me just say, for a lot of people say, well, you know, what about the small independent coffee dealer? The tax would not have been levied on businesses with less than $50,000 a year in sales. Now, I know that's not a lot in gross dollar sales, but at least an effort was made to spare the small business owner from having to charge this 10-cent tax. But I don't quite get this. Maybe if you're listening in the Seattle area or not. I don't know. Does this make sense? Now, the people that were sponsoring this campaign to get this 10-cent tax, because, you know, supporters said the money was desperately needed to ensure children are prepared and ready to learn when they walk through the doors to kindergarten. Isn't this what we always deal with? We haven't figured out a way to pay for our children's education. Who was it that said it'll be a grand day in America when schools have all the money they need and they'll hold bake sales for money to buy an aircraft carrier, right? Who said that? I have no idea, but isn't that the truth? So here the people in Seattle were presented with an initiative.
Hey, how about a dime on every cup of, coffee, and this will help us out?
No. Now, as the results of the failure of this referendum the other night became more and more apparent, a campaign volunteer, somebody who was in favor of this 10-cent tax for the school kids, this guy, Mike Kasparak, a campaign volunteer and director of the Interlake Child Care Center of Seattle, then challenged opponents, the people who are voting this down, to come up with a better way to pay for early childhood care. Okay. This guy said, you know, this is not the end of it. Just because the measure's defeated, we're going to go to the former mayor, the League of Women Voters, and the espresso shop owners and say, okay, let's work together. Show us a better way. Apparently, all these organizations said, no dime. No dime on your coffee. No, hell no. I don't get it. Maybe there's something I'm missing here. There could be a lot I'm missing. You know, I have to wade through stuff about Bush and Cheney and Iraq, but that tends to make you crazy. As you know, if you listen to this program long enough, you know I'm just 8 degrees short of being certifiably insane. You know that. Okay, that's all right. I don't care. But what am I missing on the Seattle coffee tax thing? A dime? Here in Atlanta, when you go to these shops, it's anywhere from $1.40 to $1.75 for a cup of coffee. 2 minutes before airtime, there's a place right next to our studio here. Went over there, got a cup of coffee, $1.61 with tax. Okay, I guess it's $1.50 and then tax. And an extra dime? Like, I couldn't care less. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. All right, I tell you what. Quick break here. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Linda in New Orleans, Louisiana, who has something to say about the Seattle thing, and then we're going to get down to the serious stuff tonight. Oh, jeez. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Yeah, God smells good.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Two down, one to go for the United Auto Workers. After reaching tentative new contracts with Daimler Chrysler and Ford Motor Company on Monday, bargaining continues with General Motors. The union said it would not compromise on issues of job security and the costs of health care, but details leaked about the proposed Chrysler contract paint a very different picture. As many as seven U.S. factories may be closed, putting as many as 9,000 out of work. The costs of prescription drugs are also scheduled to rise for union workers at Chrysler. To make it easier to swallow, Chrysler workers are promised a $3,000 signing bonus and a regular schedule of raises.
Victory for labor unions and the First Amendment at Walmart. A judge with the National Labor Relations Board in South Carolina ruled yesterday that the retailer illegally muzzled employees who spoke about union organizing on the job. Walmart had argued that the discussions violated its no solicitation policy. The judge also found that Walmart illegally used wage increases as a means to entice workers away from union organizing. A spokesperson for the United Food and Commercial Workers suggests that Walmart employees seeking a raise should simply begin talking about forming a union.
Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American workers may be sick and dying, casualties to the Cold War. They worked in factories conscripted into government service for the design and manufacture of nuclear weapons. Although the government has set up a compensation fund for workers with radiation-related health problems, it will only compensate those who were exposed while the work took place. The problem is many of these plants remained contaminated with uranium dust and other toxins for years after the weapons work ended. And while there's evidence that the government knew this, those workers are not eligible for federal aid. So far, more than 28,000 claims have been denied.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Hee-haw, 27 before the hour. Okay, this may help. Thomas in Bellingham, Washington, just emailed me. He is an assistant editor out there for a business publication, and he says, Mike, the measure failed because it was sold as a huge burden on small business. We're talking about this 10-cent tax on coffee. The point you made about not being charged on the smallest business was never mentioned during the campaign, even on our otherwise excellent local NPR talk shows. In my job, I get a lot of press releases, Thomas writes, from the greedy, grasping small business lobby. They used one story about a poor, disabled, one-arm latte cart owner. I'm sorry. Who would be so terribly burdened by this tax? The fact was he wouldn't even have had to pay. Wait a minute. Think about that. A disabled one-armed latte cart owner. Man, only in Seattle, right? Huh? That's great. I think it's wonderful. I'm not laughing because the guy has one arm. Oh, Jesus, don't look at me like that, all right? And Thomas adds, the opposition to the dime coffee was funded by big companies fearing other cities would get the crazy idea that small taxes like this could do a world of good. Love your show. I listen while my crazy neighbor in the sales department blares Rush throughout the office. So, well, they went out and found a one-arm latte pushcart dealer? Ah. Oh, God. Don't you love Seattle? I have good friends in Seattle. Kathy and I have good friends in the Seattle area. Can't wait to talk to him about this. Oh, my God. Linda's calling from New Orleans. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is, Mike, and I listen to your show almost every night.
Well, thank you.
I have something to say about Seattle. I lived there 10 years, but I'm from the Bible Belt, Deep South. Sort of, well, a little worse off than you are in Atlanta.
Right.
And one thing interesting about Seattle is they're extremely progressive in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
The South will never be progressive.
Right.
But in other ways, like they will nickel and dime even the poorest people. One example, when I lived there, I was living in Queen Anne Hill, and they tried to start a homeless shelter in a beat-up motel on Aurora Avenue. And Aurora Avenue is like a main highway. It's like a gross place. And the inhabitants of Queen Anne, who were nowhere near this, just went haywire.
Didn't want those homeless shelters in their neighborhood, huh?
No, and I mean, it's like they're very progressive in some ways,
right.
And in other ways, it's not really a place that's very charitable, if you want to use that word. At least that's the impression I got, and I was there for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, you spend 10 years someplace, you certainly get a feel for it. I've heard that before, that whatever liberalism or progressive thought or political thought that exists in some of these cities that are supposed to be like Oakland or San Francisco or Seattle or Eugene, Oregon, places like that, there are a lot of people in those areas that are very progressive, very liberal, but when the rubber hits the road, it's like, what's that word, NIMBY, not in my backyard? Sort of a variation of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a very good way to describe it.
Yeah. Well, Linda, thanks for the insight, and I'm glad you called in. I hope you're going to phone us again sometime, okay?
Oh, Mike, listen what I did. I gave your network site, okay, address.
Yeah.
To everyone in my Democratic ladies group.
Oh, bless your heart.
And then I also gave it to everyone in my dean group.
Oh, great.
And every time I wear my Anyone But Bush t-shirt and someone approaches me, I tell them about your site.
Well, that is absolutely kind. Thank you. I appreciate it, Linda.
Okay, and we really enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I enjoy the food in New Orleans, too.
Okay, Mike.
You have a nice evening.
You too.
All right, take care. Where do we go down there to get beignets? What is it? The Café du Monde, that's right, yeah. Oh, like we go there all the time. Usually, you know, there's a train, believe it or not. Used to be called the Southern Crescent. Goes from Boston all the way to New Orleans. Comes through Atlanta. It's not called the Southern Crescent anymore. It's called Amtrak. And the service on it is not like it used to be. Nothing's like it used to be. But Amtrak goes from Atlanta every morning. It leaves here about 9 o'clock in the morning. Gets into New Orleans in the late afternoon. And we've made that trip before. It's a fun trip. Especially when you go over Lake Pontchartrain on that train, and you just get the feeling you're about to die. You know what I'm saying? 800 talk from the train running off the track, and you drown. Bush said today there was no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. Bush said, we have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September 11th attacks. Bush spoke, this is what the AP says, Bush spoke with reporters after speaking with leaders of Congress about energy legislation. Oh, God. The president's comment on Saddam, the deposed Iraqi leader, was in line with a statement Tuesday by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who said he had not seen any evidence that Saddam was involved in the attacks. Condoleezza Rice on Sunday told her interrogator at Fox News, I don't know, how in the hell anybody got the idea? Don't look at me, boys. I'm just the National Security Advisor. But a new poll by the Washington Post found that nearly 70% of Americans, I believe the exact figure was 69.4% of Americans, believe Saddam Hussein was personally involved. Rumsfeld, and we had this quote for you yesterday, Rumsfeld said when presented with that astonishing interpretation by the American public, Rumsfeld said, well, I've not seen any indication that would lead me to believe that I could say that. Now, I have a question for you. 70%, you know, when the Washington Post takes a poll, it's usually a fairly well-balanced demographic poll, right? How could 70% of the American public, if the sample was representative of us, believe that Saddam Hussein
had his hands in the attacks in this country. If it were not from the for the fact that Ari Fleischer and the American Zionists that infest our government, and Bush, and Cheney, and Rumsfeld, and Wolfowitz, and Armitage, and every single Republican in Congress, every one of them, since when? When did the run-up to this invasion of another country begin? Last year? Last October? Over and over and over again, the connections between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, Saddam Hussein and 911, Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction, be they nuclear, chemical, or biological, and every single reason put out there by the Bush crime family for the deaths of 300-plus Americans and thousands of Iraqis was a lie. Is that an impeachable offense? Or does it take oral sex? Oh, wait, that's right. None of these bastards were under oath when they lied to the American public. That makes it all okay. That makes it okay that we have had hundreds upon hundreds of American soldiers wounded, 300 plus shot dead. And these soldiers, boys, let me tell you something, and girls, wearing the uniform, if you're in Afghanistan or if you're in Iraq, you are nothing more than a corporate mercenary put out there by thugs and punks and killers and draft dodgers like Bush and Cheney and Abrams and Wolfowitz and Feith and all of these monsters. You are corporate mercenaries. God help your parents. God help your husbands and wives. God help your children. When you come back in a box and they hand your mama the flag. Is this an impeachable? Is any of this impeachable? Every last one of these rats now are going out in front of the cameras. Finally today, Bush. You see, Rice has to go out there first. And then Cheney. And then Rumsfeld. Well, we never said that. How did anybody get 70% of the American public? Where did that come from? God. And Ari Fleischer. All of these people. And then when the American public is softened up enough, then the Bush bastard comes out and says, today.
We don't have any evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved in the September 11 attacks. Where'd you get that idea? Where did that come from? Hello?
Are you not enraged by this? I know. You know, we can't bust a gut. We can't. There's one holdout. Dick Cheney, the Android VP. This thug, this killer, his outrageous performance on Meet the Press on Sunday, even the national security establishment that's normally, you know, willing to lick his boots, is furious with what he said. Cheney managed to once again float this lie that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 911. This is the old fascist big lie syndrome. This is what Goebbels or Himmler or whoever the hell it was said. You know, just keep repeating it. Keep repeating it. Eventually, the dumbasses will believe it. God. Rumsfeld, Rice, Bush, they're all out there. Condoleezza Rice on ABC's Nightline, when was this, Kathy? Was this last night, the night before? Rice said that one of the reasons Bush went to war against Saddam Hussein was because the Iraqi leader posed a threat, quote, in a region from which the 911 threat emerged. What? I thought it emerged from Afghanistan. Isn't that why we went to Afghanistan and butchered 6,000 or 7,000 people? And destabilized that country? Oh, I know, the Taliban sucks. But isn't that why we went to Afghanistan? I thought it was Afghanistan. Not according to Rice. We invaded Iraq because that's the area of the world where these sorts of things emerge. Threats.
asked about this poll that shows 70% of Americans think Saddam Hussein pulled the trigger on this thing, she said, "We've never claimed that Saddam Hussein had either direction or control of 911. What we have said is that this is someone who supported terrorists, helped to train them, but most importantly, that this is someone who, with his animus toward the United States, with his penchant for and capability to gain weapons of mass destruction, and his obvious willingness to use them, was a threat in this region. Don't you want to just run an oil tanker into one of her body orifices?" And on Meet the Press on Sunday, Cheney was asked whether he was surprised that more than two-thirds of Americans expressed a belief that Iraq was behind the attacks. And he replied, "No, I think it's not surprising that people make that connection." It's astonishing. It's just this. Is any of this impeachable? Is any of this reason to throw these criminals not only out of office, but to try them? For what? I don't know. What can we try them for? We put Bill Clinton on trial for lying about his girlfriend, about little oral sex in the Oval Office or wherever the hell it occurred. Right? We put him on trial in the Senate. We indicted him in the House. Is none of this impeachment worthy? 300 plus dead Americans, hundreds wounded, thousands of Iraqis, thousands of Afghans dead. The entire world destabilized because Bush and his thuggish, murderous cohorts coveted the resources in Afghanistan, Central Asia, and Iraq. God. And here we sit. I don't mean you and me tonight. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, here we sit. Here the United States sits. Here Congress sits. Nobody. Nobody has the decency, much less the courage, to introduce a bill of impeachment against this thug and his entire administration. Nobody, nobody, not one single member of the United States House of Representatives has the courage, the decency, to get this thug out of office, to begin the process. I don't care if it would be killed by the House Judiciary Committee because it's infested with these Republican snakes and rats and roaches. At least somebody should make the effort. Shouldn't they? Nah, you don't think so? And what did the Congress just do? The Congress just authorized the development of tiny nukes? Huh? The Congress, by a vote of 53 to 41, just gave thrust and weight to Georgie's nuclear ambitions? Mini nukes? By a vote of 53 to 41, they decided to retain funding to develop tiny little nuclear weapons? The measure passed by 9 votes. You know who didn't vote? Let me tell you who didn't vote on this. John Edwards, Democrat, North Carolina. Bob Graham, Democrat, Florida. John Kerry, Democrat, Massachusetts. Joe Lieberman, Democrat, Connecticut. They didn't even show up for the vote. I'm going to tell you right now, of course, this is no shock to any of you. I'm sure you agree. Not one of these people will get a vote from me. Not in a primary, not in the general. And if one of these guys gets a nomination, those four I just mentioned, these Democratic candidates, and didn't all four of these thugs support Bush on the USA Patriot Act and the invasion of Iraq and all of it? If the, one of these four, the Green Party, here I come. Libertarian Party, Lyndon LaRouche, New Party, something. Anything.
four Democratic contenders for the presidency didn't even bother to vote on authorizing George W. Bush to have his finger on the trigger of many nuclear weapons. Dear God.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have Click 6 web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Hi, I'm Steven Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Steven at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Five before the hour. Al in Florida says, Mike, what's wrong with this picture? Paul Hill kills because he feels God told him to, and he gets the needle here in Florida. George Bush kills thousands of people who live in the Middle East for essentially the same reason, because God told him to, and runs for re-election. How does this happen? I don't know, Al. It's because we have fallen through the looking glass. That's the best I can come up with, pal. Southside Carl is checking in from Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, having a little difficulty keeping up with you. My son took the computer to school.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, you mean the Chicago Public Schools won't provide him one?
No, he's at Michigan State.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you had a son that old.
Yeah, I got kids that old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Mike, on this, what they're doing now, is this something that they call mea culpas?
Yeah.
And I thought it had started a couple of weeks ago when Bush was asking for the $87 billion.
Right.
Because he made a statement about Saddam in which he said, Saddam supported terrorism. Mm-hmm. Which I said, well, that's a flat-out lie. But he didn't make all the other comments. Now, Sunday, I watched Meet the Press and Cheney. Cheney, if I remember, he did start, he said something like, there was no clear evidence, but then he did kind of like suggest that, there's reason to believe or to equate something with him in terrorism, so on like that.
But isn't this a perfect example of what Himmler or Goering or whoever?
Yes, obfuscation, misleading. And
repeat the lie enough times, even if you do it in a way that's kind of indirect, and eventually you have the population. They will believe the lie. 70% of us believe this, Carl?
What Cheney did, though, he also said that, he had misspoken about Iraq reconstituting its weapons of mass destruction, though. So, I guess we can misspeak about those things. But what I was kind of curious about, and I hear Bush come out with, back up all of these statements and whatnot today.
Mm-hmm.
And what's got me curious is what's got them on the run. And I'm wondering if it has something to do with, it's going to be soon when we're going to get this report about the weapons of mass destruction.
Well, it's my understanding that report is not going to see the light of day. It's already.
Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, that's what I've heard from the British press. We mentioned this last night. I forget the guy's name, but apparently a deal has been struck with the British and the American government that report put together by 1,400
our people.
Our people.
Flunkies. David Kay is.
David Kay, that's it.
You know, is our little flunky.
That's right.
Who staked this thing? I'm going to get him.
And we're not going to see the report.
No,
I think that's what it is.
You're joking me, Mike.
I am not joking you. Carl, hold on a second. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. With winds over 105 miles an hour, Hurricane Isabel is still considered a Category 2 storm, but forecasters still say it could be upgraded to a more powerful Category 3 system. WeatherBug Chief Meteorologist Mark Hoeksema says the weather buoys give them a first look at Isabel.
What this tells us is that with the eye of the hurricane still hundreds of miles offshore, the scope of Isabel's damaging winds could exceed 300 miles from her center. That means a huge swath of land is at risk for storm damage.
The center of Isabel is located close to 200 miles off the coast of North Carolina and is expected to make landfall by midday tomorrow somewhere along that same stretch of coastline. From there, it should start to track northwest into Virginia. The BBC has admitted making mistakes in its long-running row over a report on the British government's Iraqi weapons dossier. Reporter Andrew Gilligan and the corporation's head of news were cross-examined at the inquiry into the death of a government scientist. Suzanne Chislett reports.
BBC journalist Andrew Gilligan, who broadcast the controversial story, has stood by the report he based on conversations with government scientist Dr. David Kelly. But he's now conceded he did make errors in his broadcasts. During cross-examination in London, he admitted a slip of the tongue when he talked of his intelligence service source. He also acknowledged Dr. Kelly had not directly told him the government knew intelligence included in its dossier about Iraqi weapons was wrong or unreliable. Instead, he said the scientist had told him the claim that such weapons were ready for use in 45 minutes was unreliable, wrong, and included against our wishes. Mr. Gilligan insists any mistaken impression he gave was not intentional, saying it was the kind of thing that often happens during live broadcasts. Meanwhile, the BBC's head of news, Richard Sandbrook, also told the inquiry the dossier claims should have been put to Downing Street before they were broadcast. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Yemen has handed over a suspected al-Qaeda member to Saudi Arabia today in the latest extradition between the two countries. Yemen also handed over seven other wanted Saudis. The SPA news agency says Bandar al-Ghamdi is considered to be one of 19 suspected al-Qaeda militants planning attacks on Saudi Arabia. A list of 19 wanted persons was issued a few days before suicide bombings in Riyadh last May, which killed 35 people, including nine Americans. Ghamdi's wife and newborn son were also handed over.
One ringy dingy. Oh, is this the party to whom I am speaking? Ernestine Tomlin here, WebEx Communications visionary. I want to tell you about the new ringy dingy, online meetings from WebEx. With WebEx, you share real-time voice, video, and data all through your browser. It's the world's richest web conferencing experience. Use WebEx and kick your competition in the tush. Visit me today at WebEx.com. I have something to show you.
The foundation created by Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates has announced plans to spend over $70 million to create new high schools around the nation. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation says the money will continue their small schools initiative. Foundation Executive Director Tom Vander Ark says despite the tough economy, the group still has plenty of money to spend.
The Bill and Melinda Gates made a significant contribution of about $24 billion to create their foundation. And so even in these tough times, there are dollars to give away.
Gates himself traveled to New York City today to announce the creation of 67 high schools in the city. Vander Ark says the foundation is hoping to turn around historically poor graduation rates in the nation. Weakness in technology sent stocks lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 22 points to 95.46. The Nasdaq slipped 4 points to 1883. The S&P 500 dropped 3 points to 1026. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready. Take aim and fire. No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure, car cover owners are so satisfied they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned-out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK, yes, and we are still talking with Carl in from the south side of Chicago. Carl, go ahead. Wrap it up for me.
Yeah, well, Mike, well, if they're going to squash the report, what's got them on the run? Are they trying to preempt someone independently reporting this? Or, I mean, because to me, that's what they seem like they're going getting defensive and trying to protect something or another, you know.
Well, that's a good question. I don't understand what's going on. I really don't. Unless what they're trying to do is give themselves cover for charges that might come from where? I don't know. A citizens' commission, the Congress, Democratic challengers, who are going to say, look, you people lied to us. You took us into war based on lies. So maybe they're just laying down their cover now, their cover story now. We never said that. We never gave the impression that, I don't know. All I know is these people are liars. They will do anything. They are greed heads. They are killers. I wouldn't trust.
Well, but it's a certainty, though, that Kay's report is not going to be made in September like they had been saying it was going to be coming.
Carl, take a look at the calendar. What's today, the 17th
of
September?
Yeah, well, that's why I have kind of...
No, the thing that I had on last night was from either the Guardian of London or the Sunday Times of London. It's being reported from sources within the British government that David Kay's report is going to be, quote, delayed. Now, whoever said that was reported in the Times of London, excuse me, and then the reporter went on to say that he found out, or she found out, that not only is it going to be delayed, but it's going to be delayed indefinitely. Now, this is only one report from one source, one newspaper in the UK. I haven't heard anything from the American press, although I'm not saying the Times or the Post or the LA Times. Somebody hasn't reported it that this report would be delayed. But it was out in the British press on Sunday. Today's Wednesday. So, but why would they provide a report with 1,400 people, American scientists, weapons experts, toxicologists, environmentalists, all these people looking for these weapons, and they have found nothing? Hans Blix came out the other day and said, guess what? Saddam Hussein destroyed all of his weapons. Well, duh, that's what he was ordered to do. Right?
Yeah.
Carl, let me let you go.
Okay, Mike.
All right, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Carl's raised a good question. I don't have a clue. But all of a sudden, these rats, these cockroaches, are just scurrying around from TV show to TV show. Yeah, we never seen anything like that. How'd you get that idea? What? 70% of Americans think Saddam had some. Oh, isn't that ludicrous? I don't know why they're doing it. But it does kind of dovetail with what Carl brought up about this report that was supposed to be released in September, right? Isn't that what Ari Fleischer told us before he hightailed it out of town? Yeah, the report will be out in September. Don't worry about it. It'll all be there. Jeez. Oh, man. Like you, it's astonishing. It's shocking. The audacity of Condoleezza Rice and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush. And who's going to be next? Colin Powell? To stand out there and say, we never said that. Now, granted, it is not surprising that 70% of us in this country, because we are so abysmally stupid and apolitical, it's not surprising. Then we go, what's the question? Who attacked? Oh, that was Saddam Hussein, right? Yeah. Here, try a little bit of this. I think it was Saddam Hussein, right? Isn't that what they've been telling? Isn't that why we're at war? What? Afghanistan? Osama bin who? I don't know, man. I can't think back like that. Jesus, it's 2003. What do you want? Hey, what's on Survivor tonight? Isn't that where we are? So 70% of us say, yeah, well, obviously Saddam Hussein had his hands in this. And then these thugs, these global terrorists, Bush, Cheney, Rice, who's next? Wolfowitz, all of these global terrorists. These mass killers.
Oh, we didn't say anything like that. We didn't say anything like that at all. Where do you get that idea?
Joke's on you, stupid Americans. Now, somebody complain and protest because we have the USA Patriot Act in effect, and we will put your ass in jail. Go ahead. Go ahead. Complain. Do something. Threaten us. And watch how quickly you disappear. Mark is calling from Dallas. Hey, Mark.
I know nothing.
Hey, Sergeant.
Yeah, that's a comment both for the administration and the American people, don't you think?
I think, yeah. How do we get this stupid, Mark? We weren't this stupid when you and I were younger. I'm older than you are. But when you and I were younger, we weren't this stupid, were we?
Nope, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, anyway, that was my comedy for the evening, Mike. I just wanted to lighten things up a little bit.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
I thought you wanted to say something about the Republicans having a bad week.
Well, my thought now is I wonder how these guys are going to spin this, and especially the Republican faithful. I just don't know how these guys can hide under rocks anymore.
The Republican faithful, you can do a U-turn with them in the back seat at 180 miles an hour, and they'll never even get whiplash. Whatever the leadership tells them, whatever Bush tells them, or Cheney, or Tom DeLay, or Pat Robertson, or Jerry Falwell, they're right there, man. Hey, yeah, that's it. Nobody ever said anything about Saddam Hussein. I knew that.
All the while recanting, I know nothing.
I got you, Mark. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. How about all these filthy, filthy religious leaders in this country who got on board for this invasion of Iraq? Huh? How about these people? From Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's spawn, to Robertson and Falwell and all of these scum, James Dobson, all of these people, these so-called religious leaders who jumped on the bandwagon with all 4 feet, man. Boom, yeah, let's go get a rock because they attacked us along with the queers. The queers attacked us and the feminists and, the ACLU. Did I mention the Negroes? What about them? What about this group too, huh? What about these people who use their FaceTime on television and their disgusting, contemptible programs to further sell the Bush lies? What about them? Don't they belong in the dock too? Of course they do. Christians, my ass. These people are about as much Christians as Pontius Pilate was. Have I said yet tonight, Kathy, I hate these people? I did already? No. Chris is calling from San Francisco. Chris, welcome to the program. This your first time calling?
Yeah, it's my first time calling.
You're all welcome aboard.
Thanks. I just wanted to talk about a few things regarding propaganda. I think there's three types of propaganda. There's for the good propaganda, which advocates the common good. And there's number two, the bad propaganda, which is the profit of the few at the expense of the many.
Right.
But the third propaganda people don't really talk about is the irrelevant propaganda. TV, reality TV, football,
right.
Sports.
Yeah.
The main purpose of this is to distract Americans from what really matters.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, it's astonishing. You can go to a football game, get 50,000 people to be completely there and listening and watching everything. But you get a Democratic presidential debate, what's the audience? 500 people?
Right.
I mean, God forbid, it's astonishing. And
we don't have a tradition in this. Look, the country is only 200 and a few odd years old. We have no political traditions that have been rooted in tribalism, have been rooted in some sort of deeply felt ideology. This idea of freedom and democracy and liberty and those are all great things. These were reactive emotions, reactive political, in my opinion, reactive political theories. Getting away from fascism as it was 250 years ago, and socialism as it was, and monarchies and religious thugs and dictators as they were 250 years ago. This was an experiment. We don't have the deep rooted traditions in this country to say, hey, listen, we have an election coming up. Let's sit down and hear what the candidates have to say. Hey, we are being led into war. Let's really question not the jive turkey nonsense they're putting out there, but the real reasons. We just don't do that. And I think it's because we are, A, very easily distractible. Who was it? Was it Johnny Depp the other day in France said America is like a big puppy with sharp teeth.
Right. We're like an arrogant 16-year-old, with a sports car.
That's it.
We're so young,
That's it. That's
and it. One more thing, so to help people get a little more optimistic, to me it's looking like a little like father, like son. I'm pretty young. I'm only 4, but in 91, Bush 40 won the war. He had a clean exit, had, 95% approval?
And he got his ass handed to him.
Yeah, due to the economy that we're for now, and we're in a quagmire, and the economy, is getting down. It's worse than his father. What is he at, 52% approval rating right now?
He does. You're absolutely right. At this time, I was just reading something in Harper's Index last night. This time in Bush 1's reign, he had like a 66% approval rating. And here's this twerp with the 52. The thing that scares me about that, Chris, is that means it's time to attack another country, and it looks like Syria is going to be the next country in a barrel. That's the way it looks anyway. If not Syria, maybe North Korea. If not North Korea, maybe Iran. The Bush crime family, their plan is to stay in office for 8 years and then hand it off to another fascist regime for another 8, and then this country's finished. And if public opinion starts to turn against them as it is, then it's time to come up with another war, because that's how you control the population. That's another page out of the Nazi handbook. Hey, Chris, there's the music. Thanks for checking in, pal. I hope you call again.
All right, thanks,
Bob. All right, sir. Take care. We'll be right back.
Propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda. Propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing. Propaganda.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Here they come, the Rangers. Not Forest Rangers or the famous Texas Rangers, but the Bush Rangers. They are the corporate CEOs and other fat cats who are furiously bundling up big bucks for George W.'s re-election bid. To get designated as a Bush Ranger, these elite funders have to bring in at least $200,000 each for George's campaign coffers. Wait, isn't there a $2,000 legal limit on any individual's contribution to a presidential candidate? And aren't corporations outlawed from making donations? Yes, Pollyanna, but surprise! The politicos found a loophole big enough to drive a Brinks truck through. It's called bundling. CEOs, for example, can give $2,000 each, but then they can get their vice presidents to give $2,000 each and get their board members, corporate lawyers, country club pals, and others to send checks. How does the Bush campaign know to credit all of these incoming checks to a particular ranger? Easy. Each of the check hustlers is given a personal tracking number, and each of the solicited check writers includes that number on their check. Thus, Bush keeps a record of the money each fat cat delivers to him. Do the Bush Rangers get a neat badge to wear once they make their quota? No. If George wins, they get governmental favors. After all, they delivered for him, so... This is what passes for ethics in Washington. The Bushites try to claim that the tens of millions they're sacking up is not special interest money, but love offerings from little people, pointing to 85,000 checks they've gotten from small donors. That's sweet, but don't swallow it. Official records show that 85% of Bush's money is coming from the big investors. Indeed, a fourth of his money haul so far has come from just 68 bundlers. This is Jim Hightower saying, to track the money yourself, check the Reform Voter Project at reformvoter.org.
My speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what you call it, a massive series of lies, you twerp, you liar, you thug, you killer. Okay, political trivia in a few minutes, after the next break, and you'll have a chance to win. We're going to give away two more autographed copies of Jim Hightower's latest book, Thieves in High Places. And coming up a little later in the program, surfer dude turned press secretary Scott McClellan, and a couple from the Bush bastard himself. You're going to freak out when you hear these quotes. But that's then, and this is now. Jack is calling from Santa Fe. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This is your first time calling, I take
it. Yes, it is. Well, I appreciate you just for being.
Well, we have fun, don't we, Jack?
Yeah, certainly do. I appreciate it every evening.
Well, thank you.
I have a question about Robert Novak. In the article he had prepared about Ambassador Joe Wilson's wife, who was a member of the CIA.
Right. He blew her cover, and it's my understanding that several people are now dead because of that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But Joe was saying today on an interview that I heard that he was looking forward to seeing Carl Rose let out of the White House in handcuffs.
Maybe he knows something you and I don't. I would love to see that. Not just Carl Rove. My personal opinion, Carl Rove, he belongs. I'm reminded of that scene from Judgment at Nuremberg, the movie, not the reality. Charles Laughton, I believe, was in it, and where all these people are sitting there in the dock. Now, you can look at the History Channel and see the same thing, but it was much more effective seeing the Hollywood version. And I keep thinking, will the day come when people like that in our government are forced to take responsibility, legal responsibility, for what they've done, not just to this country, but what they've done globally with their mass murder? I don't know. I hope it happens.
Well, it's a concern.
Yeah, for sure.
Very much. Well, that was my main concern tonight.
So Ambassador Wilson says he expects, or he wants to see Karl Rove let out of the White House in cuffs?
He expects. That was my understanding. He expects to see that everyone else has denied it, so it's up to Karl Rove to come forward and confess. But
well,
I'll wait and see that.
Yeah, for sure. Jack, thanks.
Thank you.
Don't be a stranger. Call us once in a while. Thank you, sir. Charles is calling from San Diego. Hey, Charles. Yo, Charles. All right, let me put Charles back on hold. I know you were listening to the program. Robert, our L.A. correspondent, is checking in. Hey, Robert.
Mike, you're blowing more wind than Isabel. Breathe in, breathe out. What's going on? It's been a long time, man.
I don't know. Look, I can't call you. You got to call here.
Well, you know, brother had to handle his business.
I hear that.
You know, anyway. Yeah, the Republicans, ain't looking good. You know, first this garbage. Now Bush is finally saying, oh, Saddam ain't got nothing to do with 9/11.
Yeah.
And naturally here, the California, Daryl Asa, McClintock, and all the rest of the little crybabies conservatives are jumping up and down. You are taking away our right to vote in October.
Judicial hijacking, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, as a matter of fact, it's funny because in the cart in the op-ed page of the L.A. Times, they had an elephant saying, you know, you cannot use the court to decide an election. Oh. And then a Democrat doggy said, you know, you got that right. And then he has a little picture of Bush, 4-1.
Right, right.
You know, so
right.
It's crazy. But I really think that, people really need to get more outraged about what's going on, you know. And I'm sorry to say that unless that happens, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless we're going to get our asses out there and go out and vote Democratic or vote Green or any type of elected official that will take the time to investigate this stuff, ask the question, then decide whether or not to vote his ass out of office. You know, people are going to still kick back and watch Survivor and Temptation and the rest of them crazy-ass shows.
That's right. Robert, let me put you on hold a second. I'll come back. We got to do a break here. We'll come back and finish this up. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. The trivia quiz is coming up. Stay with us. To be with them soon. Talking softly on the telephone. Making plans to go out and do wrong.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Illegal logging in Mexico hurts monarch butterflies across North America. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Hundreds of millions of monarch butterflies are making their way from the eastern U.S. and Canada to their winter homes in the wooded mountains of central Mexico. But some people say that habitat is being logged illegally and that the problem is getting worse. Lincoln Brower is a biology professor at Sweetbriar College in Virginia. He's an expert on the monarch butterfly, and he's working to permanently protect the unique habitat where the butterfly spends the winter. But he says illegal logging in Mexico inside the butterfly reserves has steadily increased since his first visit in the 1970s.
And it was evident to me 26 years ago now that removing trees from these precious butterfly areas was going to be damaging the monarchs. And unfortunately, over the years, there's just been a relentless logging.
Brower and his colleagues in Mexico published a study of the logging last year in the journal Conservation Biology. He says just thinning out the trees is hard on the butterflies. When the forest is thinned out, the butterflies are more likely to get wet during winter rains, and then they die of exposure.
That is critical, because if the butterflies get wet, they lose their natural cryoprotection. They have antifreeze in their blood. And if the trees are thinned out, the body temperature of the butterflies drop below freezing. And because they're wet and have lost most of their cryoprotection, they die.
3 years ago, the government of Mexico nearly tripled the size of its monarch butterfly reserves. But Brower says it's still difficult to protect them from illegal logging. He says if things don't improve, migrating monarch butterflies might not have a place to go within just 10 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping, because that's where the dollars come from to save habitat.
You know, every time he gets done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
But, because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging, because I am.
I love the book, Ted.
Thank you. It's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That's from the State of the Union, right? Did you hear that weasel, that mass killer, That drunk, that coke-using freak, AWOL, deserting thug, can't fly an airplane, land on the battleship, USS, or I'm sorry, aircraft carrier, you didn't know the difference, USS Abraham Lincoln, thug, stomp, foot, and fool? Oh, wait a minute. We're waiting to talk with Robert again. I'm sorry, Robert.
Oh, my God. If they have the word adjective in the dictionary, they should put your picture right next to it.
There you go. There you go.
But actually, I just wanted to say, you know, that I'm back in effect. I just had to deal with some personal issues. But
Well, we heard you went all the way to Peru or Ecuador or some damn place. I don't know.
Oh, not me. I'm at the airport, LAX. But what I want to do is I'm going to do my best to at least every week or at least every other week to check to give you a little update of what's going on here in California on the recall.
Right.
And, we'll go from there.
All right.
Take care, man.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate you checking in. You have a good evening. All right. Here's your trivia question. You ready for this? Now, I want to know who said the following. And your prize for the two people who get this right, the first two to get this right, you get a copy of Jim Hightower's latest book, Thieves in High Places, autographed. Now, this was said just a week ago. You notice as the week goes on, the questions get a little tougher, but you should know this one. Here's the quote. We know Iraq had a great deal to do with terrorism in general, and with Al-Qaeda in particular. And we know a great many of bin Laden's key lieutenants are now trying to organize in cooperation with old loyalists from the Saddam regime. End quote. One more time. We know Iraq had a great deal to do with terrorism in general and with Al-Qaeda in particular. And we know a great many of bin Laden's key lieutenants are now trying to organize in cooperation with old loyalists from the Saddam regime. Okay, who said this? Was it A, Dick Cheney, B, Rumsfeld, C, Wolfowitz? Who said it? Now, it was said on 911. Now, the next day, the person who did say it, either Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld, or Wolfowitz, retracted the statement. The person who did say it then told the Associated Press that his remarks referred not to a great many of bin Laden's lieutenants, but rather to a single Jordanian, Abu Musab Zakawi. The person who made the statement said, I should have been more precise. Now, the Zakawi connection has been a red herring since Colin Powell emphasized it in his pre-war presentation to the UN Security Council. During that presentation, Powell told the world how Zakawi was running a chemical weapons lab. Problem was, the site that Powell identified was not even in Iraq control. It was in the U.S. patrolled no-fly zone. And when reporters visited that site in the days immediately after Powell's speech, they found nothing. 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 So who said it? Quote, we know Iraq had a great deal to do with terrorism in general and with Al-Qaeda in particular, and we know a great many of bin Laden's key lieutenants are now trying to organize in cooperation with old loyalists from the Saddam regime. Was it A, Dick Cheney, B, Donald Rumsfeld, C, Paul Wolfowitz? All right? Now, while we're let's give it a second here, and a couple of people, Kim and I think Doc, sent this to me. This is the quote that I think I was referring to. There were so many people in the Hitlerian regime who understood fully, just like Karl Rove and Wolfowitz and Abrams and Negroponte and Bolton and Cheney and they understand perfectly the technique of the big lie. They understand perfectly how fascism works, and they are in control of this country. But this was the quote from Hermann Goering. There were other quotes. There's so many quotes you can take from the Nazi playbook that the Bush crime family is either very familiar with and or has used on the American public. But here's the one from Hermann Goering. Of course the people don't want war. But after all, it's the leaders of the country who determine the policy. And it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy, a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to greater danger. Now, Goering said this during the Nuremberg trials, according to Kim here, in a private conversation with Gustav Gilbert, a German-speaking intelligence officer and psychologist who had free access to the by the Allies to all prisoners held in the Nuremberg jail. Gustav Gilbert kept a journal of these conversations, and they later became a part of his book on the trial and the prisoners called The Nuremberg Diary. The quote that I just shared with you was part of a conversation Gilbert held with a dejected Hermann Goering in his on the evening of April 18, 1946. There was more, I think there was more to the quote. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England, nor for that matter in Germany. That's understood. And then the rest, of course, it's a simple matter to drag the people along. I mean, come on. I know it's very easy because it's very obvious. The comparisons between the Bush crime family and the Hitler crime family. It's easy to make these comparisons. These people are carbon copies. They are goose-stepping carbon copies. Okay. Italian fascism, then. But they borrowed their pages from the playbook. Mussolini didn't have a playbook. He was just wasn't he the first one? Jesus, Mussolini goes back to what? 1918, 1919, 1920? He even predates Franco, doesn't he? But there it is. Every time somebody lifts a quote from the Nazi playbook, you can hear Bush or Cheney or Rumsfeld or Wolfowitz or Rice or any of these thugs. Do we have a winner yet? Catherine? I think Charles in San Diego, don't say it on the air.
I wouldn't say, but I won.
Yeah, you did.
You know, it was a matter of elimination. Who's the most moronic member of this administration? Okay.
George Bush.
Well, I don't know. I think Wolfowitz is a real...
Rumsfeld's a thug, Cheney's a thug, but I'm glad you won. Don't say who you said, and you gave your address to Kathy, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good.
Exactly. Now, I want to bring this a little local. I know you're talking about some international things and everything.
Sure, go ahead.
But the reason I called was because I just got my ballot, my pamphlet for the California recall.
Really? They're sending out pamphlets?
Yeah. My sister-in-law got hers about 2 weeks before I did.
Yeah.
At any rate, they've done this kind of alphabetical scrambling thing.
Right.
You know, because they say they don't want anybody to be the first on the ballot.
Right.
Okay, I'm in Darrell Issa's district.
Yeah.
Now, here's my first choice. Schwarzenegger. It gets worse. Okay, it's S-C-H-W-A-R-Z.
Yeah.
Okay, guess who's second?
I don't know.
George B. Schwartzman.
Schwartzman.
S-C-H-W-A-R-T.
Is that
alphabetical?
Who's third?
Oh, third is Schmeier. Who the hell cares who's third?
So Schwarzenegger's right up there just accidentally.
Right, and it's not even alphabetical.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, okay, I don't know. That was my big bitch. And I posted on DU about, conspiracies and get my tinfoil hat.
Right, right.
And they explained, They do this kind of random thing, but I don't think that's so random.
I don't either. Now your county, San Diego County, is one of the counties that caused the Ninth Circuit Court to issue the ruling that they issued, right?
Oh, yeah. Darrell Issa is my congressman.
Right. So, but the ruling had to do with the punch card ballots.
The new ruling. Yeah, of course.
That the Supreme Court ruled, I don't know what the hell they ruled during...
Well, they ruled that these six districts Are generally Democratic districts, of course.
No, I'm talking about Bush Gore back in Florida in 2000, when the United States Supreme Court ruled that under the equal protection part of the Constitution, the state of Florida had to stop the recounting because they were using different standards in different counties.
Therefore,
the voters were denied equal protection.
Right.
And on that basis, these bastards stopped the counting of the votes, and George Bush was handed the presidency.
Exactly. And even though if you did a recount, which they did, Bush lost.
Oh, Bush, yeah, right. But they weren't going to have any of that.
Right, so here, it's typical GOP hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's so standard with these guys. I mean, these guys are not going to allow democracy to run our country. They're not going to allow it. God, I feel like I want to leave the country sometime.
No, you got to stay here and fight, because it's going to be necessary, I think, for people to stay here and fight. I thought about leaving, too.
I know, but we can fight, but I don't think we're going to win. Look at Diebold. I mean, this was 2 years ago.
Then
we knew that these guys had fixed elections. They got reversed even.
Yeah, but don't give it up yet, Charles.
Well, I'm not. I love my country.
There you go. I love my country. I just can't stand the scene. I think, who said that? Leonard Cohen. That's right. Hey, Charles, thanks for checking in, pal.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I love Leonard Cohen, too.
Yeah. All right. Take care. Appreciate it. Do we have Marcia is calling from Reston, Virginia. Marcia, you got the Wolfowitz answer too?
I did.
Well, good for you. And you gave your address to Kathy, so you'll be getting the book from Hightower.
I did, absolutely.
Great.
And it's the first time I've ever called in.
Well, welcome aboard.
And I've listened a lot and sent you a lot of emails.
I remember when they built Reston. Right?
Yep.
It was a planned community. I think it was the first planned community in the country, wasn't it? Back in the mid-60s, late 50s?
I don't know. I wasn't here then, but it's been about that long, yeah. After Robert E. Simon.
There you go. All right. Well, Marcia, I'm glad you won. Thanks for checking in, and don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay. Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. John is calling from Long Beach. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. I hope you give me a little time here, because I got a couple emails I sent out, one relating to the PXs that have been privatized.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one on our dear friend, Shaney. And also a question I want to ask him. If you have to hold me over, that's all right. Now, on the PXs, I said, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the term PX. For those who aren't, it is a military story.
Right.
For instance, post-exchange.
Right.
The idea of a PX was so military personnel could buy products on base at very good discount.
Right.
At a very good discount, as opposed to buying at regular prices off base.
Right.
Well, my understanding is that the PXs have all been privatized, so that the prices now are just the same as buying off base, except for stores like Walmart or Target, in which cases the PX prices would be higher.
I wonder if the Carlyle Group is running the PXs now.
Who knows?
No.
Isn't privatization and deregulation wonderful?
Yeah.
I would love for someone to show me where privatization and deregulation have been a boon to the general public.
All right, now, John, what are you reading to me? Because I hate reading on the program. What are you reading to me?
This is an email I sent.
Oh, okay. All right, we got the gist of that one. What's the other one?
Okay, well, the other one is on Shaney.
Yeah? Now, don't read the whole thing. Just synopsize it and tell me what you said.
It's about misspeaking.
Oh, Shaney?
Yeah, because I'm going to head here. Just a second here. He was on what's his name? His program.
Yeah, he was on with Tim Russert on Meet the Press.
And he said he misspoke when he talked about. Here it is. I just put here. Christian religion fundamentalists aren't the only ones to misspeak. Our wonderful, lovely VP Dick Cheney. Now I mentioned a Robert Shearer piece. That's what it was. That he misspoke in regards to nuclear weapons in Iraq.
Yeah.
He now says there weren't any. My, he didn't lie. He only misspoke. So the next time I take a day off from work to see a ball game or whatever, and I tell my boss I had to take my wife, daughter, son, or someone to the hospital.
You misspoke.
I won't have lied. I will just have misspoke, right?
Yeah, and maybe Bill Clinton.
I'm not allowed to do that.
Maybe Bill Clinton just misspoke when he said, I did not have sex with that woman.
The other thing I want to ask you, though, is about North Korea. You know, we've often accused North Korea of starving their people
yeah.
and making them do without because they're spending all their money on military hardware.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that what we're doing?
Yeah, yes. But we're the USA! John, thanks for checking in.
All right.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. All right, now what do we have here? Uh-oh. Chris is calling from Belleville, Illinois. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Mike, I want to tell you a little story. About a month ago or so, my dad started listening to your program.
Yeah.
And he thoroughly enjoys it.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you, he got me listening to it, too. And you're, like, the best. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And, you know, I'm only 13 years old, but I've been listening to you, and I totally agree with you, and I hope that you're still on whenever I have kids so they can share, you know, your experience.
Well, that's very
kind. That you bring to it. You're just so great.
Well, that's very kind of you to say that, Chris. Thank
no
you.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being on the air.
You have a nice evening. Well, my goodness. Thanks, Chris. Quick break. We'll be right back.
To the shores of me, past the reefs of green, through the squalls of heat. Sail on. Sail on. Sail on. Sail on. I'm sentimental, if you know what I mean. I love the country, but I can't stand the scene. And I'm neither left or right. I'm just staying home tonight, getting lost in that hopeless little screen.
Mom, Dad,
someone's gonna try and get me to take drugs.
Wanna do something about it?
You're gonna have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You gotta be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Remember that scholarship you were hoping for to help pay for your son's college?
Hey, Bill, your kid's running the wrong way.
Well, I wouldn't count on it. But there is something you can count on. We're College Loan Corporation, a company dedicated to helping you finance or refinance your college education with interest rates as low as 2.63%. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE today and find out how you can take advantage of the lowest interest rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Selsun Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You'll be seeing a lot of changes around here.
The new weekend programming lineup is more entertaining than ever. Kick it off Saturday mornings with Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by Bobby Likas Car Clinic. Then Saturdays are brightened with the informative antics of Animal Talk, followed by the home improvement experts on Home Improvement USA. If you've been wondering about that old so-called junk, then you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent, followed by Talking Pets with John Patch. Learn your job rights on Sunday mornings with the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack, and the latest in the world of technology on Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. Ramblin' with Ramsey will fill you into the hot spots to travel, followed by the second installment of the funniest live animal talk show, Animal Talk.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
For more information on these shows or other shows on IE America Radio Network, call 1-800-397-8255. But for now, listen to us live on IEAmericaRadio.com.
On our terms.
Four and a half before the hour, Kathy is calling from Tampa, Florida. Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How about you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I just have three very brief, and I'm not kidding. They're very brief things.
Okay.
The first one is, you know the George Bush doll?
Are you talking about the presidential doll or the action figure?
The presidential doll. He has that stupid jumpsuit, and you push it, and he talks.
That's the action figure, isn't it?
I don't know. It was. I guess I can't say the name of the place. It was at a toy store in the mall.
No, you can say. You can say it.
It was a KB Toys.
Oh, and yeah, that's the one that's modeled after him in the flight suit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the one. Well, you push the button, and he talks.
Right.
So, we were in line about a month ago, and I guess when it first came out, and my daughter looked at it, and she said, maybe we should get this for Daddy, because my husband and I are not George Bush fans. And I said, why would we do that? And she said, so he could throw it away. but the best thing was she pushes the button, right?
Yeah.
And the thing says, this is the end of fighting, something to that effect.
Right,
okay?
Right.
And she said, no, it isn't. There's still soldiers getting killed.
Oh, God.
Okay? No,
yeah.
She's in the line. She's 9 and a half, okay? And the people behind the counter are looking at her. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then she pushes it again. It says something about mass, the web, you know, they're no longer a threat to us. And
mm-hmm.
She goes, they weren't a threat. They don't have any weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, my
this
gosh.
This is my 9 and a half-year-old daughter. This is hysterical. And these people are looking at her like, how does she know this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's because her dad watches television and watches the news channels, particularly C-SPAN, because we don't like
right.
Bill O'Reilly channel, you know?
Right, right.
And so, you know, and people in the line were just like, okay. This
well, did anybody lean over and say, little girl, you're going to go to hell for that?
No, but listen, that leads me into my next point.
Okay.
You know, I am a Southern Baptist, born-again Christian Democrat. Do you know how hard that is to be that?
Oh, my God.
My daughter's finding out. She was in Sunday school last Sunday, and
right.
They were having a discussion about George Bush. Well, the church's, you know, stance is we should support President Bush because he's right and all this stuff.
Right,
and,
right.
And she said she was in the service one day. She thought I was going to puke. But She was in Sunday school Sunday, and they had this discussion about how we should be behind our president because
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. So she just went like that. She didn't say anything because, okay, she's surrounded by this bunch of, you know, just kind of sheeple.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Kathy, let me put you on hold. I want to hear the end of the story, but we've got a break here. So this will just take a couple of minutes. We'll come back and finish this story right after the break. And your phone calls and the sound bites. You're not going to believe this stuff. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Hurricane Isabel is closing in on the East Coast. Hamad Patel, who owns a small grocery store in Virginia Beach, Virginia, says they waited until the last minute to board up the store.
Yeah, just boarding up everything, ready to go home. We just waited till this morning, and now we're going to board up and leave. Hopefully, we're going to come back. Everything will be fine.
Forecasters say Isabel remains a Category 2 system with maximum sustained winds of 105 miles an hour. Isabel is expected to make landfall by midday tomorrow somewhere along the North Carolina coastline. More than 2 years after 9/11, the world's most wanted terrorist has been formally charged for his alleged role in the attacks against New York and Washington, D.C. A Spanish high court judge has officially charged 35 men, including al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden and a well-known journalist for the Arab TV network Al Jazeera, with involvement in planning the murders of more than 3,000 people. The judge has ordered Interpol to arrest bin Laden and extradite him to Spain, a task not even the most powerful military force on the face of the planet has been able to accomplish as of yet. In addition, the court has asked the Yemeni government to reconsider the scheduled execution of a Spanish citizen who it claims can produce evidence to back up Spain's charges against the dozens charged.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke-free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke-free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke-free, completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
A man believed to be armed has taken a group of students hostage at a community college in western Tennessee. The situation is taking place at Dyersburg State Community College. Dyersburg Mayor Bill Revell says this has never happened to his community before.
We're not used to anything like this in our community, and I didn't think that this would ever come to our community.
Mayor Revell says the college holds 2,600 students and that the incident is taking place in a math class. He says security and police have the building surrounded and a hostage negotiating team is in place. Iraq's interim governing council is urging the United States to loosen its grip on the country in order to end the post-war violence. The council is calling on Washington to give Iraqis control of their country. The interim president of the council contends problems of security are huge, and it is in large measure because Iraqis are not involved in security issues. The plea comes on the very day an audio tape said to be from Saddam Hussein was aired by an Arabic television channel. The speaker on the poor quality tape calls for the unconditional withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq and for Iraqis to wage holy war against the, quote, foolish invaders.
Whether you've got bald tires, a flat tire, old tires, or are just tired of looking at white walls, there's no better time to pick up a new set of Goodyear tires than during National Automotive Month at Sears Auto Center. Because Goodyear tires are all on sale. And get a free DieHard Weather Handler battery worth $59.99 when you buy four Goodyear tires. Just bring in your old battery and we'll exchange it free. But only during National Automotive Month and only at Sears Auto Center. Sears, good life, great price. Sale and free battery offer end 8/23. Find us online at Sears.com or America Online, keyword Sears.
The foundation created by Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates has announced plans to spend over $70 million to create new high schools around the nation. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation says the money will continue their small schools initiative. Foundation Executive Director Tom Vander Ark says despite the tough economy, the group still has plenty of money to spend.
The Bill and Melinda Gates made a significant contribution of about $24 billion to create their foundation. And so even in these tough times, there are dollars to give away.
Gates himself traveled to New York City today to announce the creation of 67 high schools in the city. Vander Ark says the foundation is hoping to turn around historically poor graduation rates in the nation. Weakness in technology and oil shares offset gains by Altria Group to lead stocks lower today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 22 points to 95.46. The Nasdaq slipped 4 points to 1883. The S&P 500 dropped 3 points to 1026. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Before we get to these sound bites from Scott McCullen and Too Stupid to Be President, we are talking with Kathy in Tampa, who identifies herself as a Southern Baptist born-again Democrat, which is...
Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it?
Man, that's pretty staggering. Now, we were talking about your little girl. She's in church, and...
Well, the 16-year-old. This one's the 16-year-old.
Oh, this is the 16-year-old. Okay.
Yeah.
And she's in church.
Yeah. Well, they're in Sunday school, and they were talking about him, and she just groans, you know, and her best friend is sitting next to her. She goes, what? She goes, later. I'll tell you later.
They're talking about Bush.
Right.
And how we're... Right. You got to support the... Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So your 16-year-old groans.
Right. And then she goes, I'll tell you later. So her best friend, you know, once they got out of the classroom, she goes, I got to tell you a few things. she proceeded to enlighten her about the truth that she learns because she's homeschooled, watching, you know, CNN, C-SPAN, you know, whatever we're watching, and her dad is explaining all of this to her so she's not ignorant of the world's goings on, because in 2 years she's voting, you know.
Right.
And so I think it may have fallen on deaf ears personally.
Well, you've got a couple of amazing kids there, Kathy. You and your husband should really pleased with the fact that you're making sure they understand the truth.
My husband, I'm college educated, but I had no idea until he actually taught me about this stuff by having me sit down and watch it, because I get to watch Nickelodeon, you know, I don't get to watch real stuff. But my last question, I have one question, and maybe you can help me find out this information, because this bugs me. Every time I hear them do the wounded and killed report,
right?
Where is the count for the guys who are wounded who later die? Where do you find that number?
You know, I don't know. Iraq body count, is that the website, Kathy?
I don't know. I haven't been to.
Oh, no, I'm talking to Kathy, my producer.
You're Kathy. Okay.
Right. There's a website. I think it's iraqbodycount.com or .org.
I just don't know if they account for those guys who were counted as wounded and then later pass away. I just don't understand why they don't count those as well in this amazing count since May whatever, that he got on the stupid carrier. And I'm a veteran. My husband's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
It just kills us. Well, I mean, and you don't see any veterans at his... This should be happening, too. The veterans should be protesting every time he opens his mouth and says how much he supports the troops, because once they're not active troops anymore, he doesn't support them.
Well,
cutting VA benefits
And left. Oh, just slashing everything, not to mention hazardous duty pay and separation pay for the families back home. You know, the VA keeps morbidity and mortality records. I don't know if you can find those online. Maybe you could.
No, there's one in
St. Pete.
Right,
there's a big VA center, and if you call them, they might be able to give the information, or they would say to you, well, I'm sorry, it's classified.
Yeah, they probably will.
Yeah. Hey, Kathy, thank you so much for calling.
Take care.
It was good to hear from you. You take care, too. Appreciate it. Very quickly, this. I got an email. I'm on MoveOn.org's email list, like you probably are. And they sent me some stuff and said, pass this along to your friends and colleagues. I'm going to post this at my website tonight. It's they're launching a petition calling on Congress to hold on to the $87 billion that Too Stupid to Be President requested until Bush changes his team and changes his course in Iraq. I've already heard rumors that Rumsfeld's days are numbered. Donald Feith, his days are numbered. I don't know. I frankly don't care. These bastards have done so much damage. They have done so much damage to this country, to the reputation of this country. I'd like to see them stay in office until they can be tried for treason or the crimes they've committed. Yeah, I know. That'll happen on the day they open a Dipper Dan franchise in hell. But anyway, MoveOn.org has a website, and there's a button you can click to sign the petition. But in the message I got from them, in the email, they said, here's the situation. 155 U.S. soldiers have died in Iraq since Bush declared mission accomplished. I had no idea it was 155. Since the beginning of the war, over 300 soldiers have given their lives, more than in any U.S. conflict in decades. There are 140,000 troops in that country or Kuwait now. According to General Tommy Franks, those levels won't be reduced in the foreseeable future. Another general said last week, the U.S. Army is strained and stressed. The U.S. occupation of Iraq now costs about $1 billion a week, as much as the federal government spends on after-school programs for the entire year. Those are just the military costs, not including any money for rebuilding in Iraq. Suicide attacks and bombings throughout Iraq are becoming a daily occurrence. They show no sign of slowing. Iraq resents the U.S. occupation. Iraqis resent the U.S. occupation. The headline of an article in today's New York Times is, Iraqis' bitterness is called bigger threat than terror. No weapons of mass destruction have been found, nor have we seen any evidence of an active weapons development program. There's no exit strategy. The Bush administration has yet to present a realistic plan for how the occupation of Iraq will end. But Rumsfeld and the team that took us to war remain unwilling to concede that anything's wrong. Thomas White, you remember him. I think Thomas White is a jackass, but he is a former Secretary of the Army. He noted that, quote, Rumsfeld is absolutely convinced that he is right, that his view is correct, so all the rest of this stuff that is floating around is kind of noise, a lot of which he just dismisses out of hand, or he rationalizes somehow as being consistent with this plan of his, end quote. That was in the Washington Post a couple of days ago. Now, while Rumsfeld rationalizes, MoveOn.org writes, we are paying for the mismanagement of Iraq in money and in blood. The president, Rumsfeld, and the rest of the team distorted evidence to get us into this war. They told us that they had a plan for getting us out, but so far, the president has done nothing to demonstrate that he's going to pull us out of this mess. He should start by hiring a new defense secretary. Blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm going to post this, and hopefully you'll... I would expect if you listen to this program, you go to my website every night, MikeMalloy.com. On the main page, we list the topics that we've discussed and some other stuff. You can click on the links and find out in more detail what we talked about on any given night's program. All right, very quickly, Scott McClellan, the stupidest press secretary in history. Press briefing today. Helen Thomas, the doyen or the dean of the Washington Press Corps, Helen Thomas asks this young boy, Scott McClellan, quote, earlier today you said that the president made no connection between 911 and Iraq. You said that there was no indication that there was a linkage at all. Can you explain why the American people seem to believe, according to the polls, that there is a connection? Does the White House have anything to do with that? And are you going to do anything to disabuse this perception? Are you going to tell the American people now the truth that there is no linkage?
You're talking specifically about the September 11th attacks. We never made that claim. We know, Helen, I mean, this is reopening a debate that was never had, because the entire judgment of the international community was that Saddam Hussein was a threat. There are many things we know about the history of Saddam Hussein's regime and his ties to terrorism, including al-Qaeda, and we have outlined all that previously.
Now, it's incredible. Someone like Helen Thomas has to subject herself to this nonsense from some little snot. How many lies were in what he said? He says the entire judgment of the international community was that Saddam Hussein was a threat. That is a complete lie. First of all, using the modifier entire judgment of the internet. What does he mean? The judgment of the entire international community? This is some little surfer dude who ought to get his ass back down to a Long Beach or someplace and get out of the White House. The international community did not say Saddam Hussein was a threat. The international community took to the streets to the tune of, what, 10 million people around the planet on every continent, including Antarctica, and said no to this war. And then McClellan says about Saddam Hussein's ties to al-Qaeda. There are no ties, you moron, you little punk. Oh, jeez. Why am I getting upset? Okay, Terry Moran, ABC News? Yeah, Terry Moran asked McClellan this. Just to close off the line of questioning Helen was pursuing, can you rule out at this point that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 911? With the attacks on this country on September 11th. In the judgment of the White House, Scott, there is still a possibility that evidence will develop showing Saddam had a hand in 911. Is that true? Or can you rule it out?
We have never made that claim, and I'm not saying that now. We have not made that claim, Terry, and I'm not making that claim.
It's incredible. It's just incredible. Okay, another reporter asked how actions by U.S. troops are causing more violence in Iraq. The question, Scott, there are new reports out of the region, growing reports, an increasing number of these attacks are in fact by Iraqi civilians who are taking retaliation on U.S. troops for our tactics on the ground, the house-to-house searches, the searches of women, the roundups of security suspects, and so on. These sniper attacks, Scott, the various bombing attacks, the sabotage attacks, there's a worry an increasing number of them are in response to tactics of U.S. troops on the ground. Any comment on that, Scott? Now, listen to McClellan first act dumb. Well, he's probably not acting.
I don't know. I don't know specifically where you're referring to. We always recognize there's some difficulties and frustrations that happen when you're moving toward transferring this responsibility back to the Iraqi people. I mean, you know, we've talked about that this is not a process that just happens in 4.5 months after major combat operations
ends. You don't know specifically what the reporter is referring to, Scott. How about you round up the 300-plus families whose sons and daughters and husbands and fathers have been shot dead in your stupid war? Ask them about the specifics that the reporter is referring to. Do you think that would work, Scott? Dear God. More audio of So Stupid He Shrubs Press Secretary Scott McClellan and a dash of W. Stay with us.
To their knees, he patrols the highways from the air. He keeps the country safe from long hair.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Celsin Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Celsin Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Celsin Blue. Celsin Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Celsin Blue. Use as directed.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy?
This is what they said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Fudgy.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat. Zebra.
Mike Malloy is rational, and it, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why don't
me?
Why put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Okay, I can't take much more of this either, so let's just get through this, all right? One more from Scott McClellan, stupidest press secretary in history. Here's the next reporter's question. Scott, some Republicans have expressed concerns. They're hearing from constituents who do not believe that $87 billion should be spent on Iraq. And particularly they're concerned, Scott, I guess, about $20 billion that would go toward the rebuilding efforts. They're hearing from constituents, Scott, who don't like that idea because they believe that kind of money should be spent in the United States to fund the Leave No Child Behind Act, for example. Any comments, Scott?
We're meeting our priorities here in the United States. The president is committed to winning the war on terrorism abroad, which this is part of, and it's central to the highest priority for the American people, the long-term safety and security of America. And the $20 billion you specifically referenced in terms of going toward the reconstruction and stability of Iraq, again, I would emphasize that was looking at the overall needs of what we needed to provide.
Jesus, God. Oh, I'm not going to comment on that. Just, Madam Producer, how's come, you know, we used to do a lot of Ari Fleischer. Why do we do this jackass more often? Open your mic and explain to the audience.
Because he's just like, you know, so stupid. And it's just like he came like, hey, you know, my surfboard's right outside, man, you know, and like,
okay.
I don't know. We were looking at the overall needs of what we like, needed to provide.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. All right. Bush, speaking with reporters today after, I don't know, some kind of a meeting, and the press gaggle catches him. Listen. The reporter says, Mr. President, Dr. Rice and Secretary Rumsfeld both said yesterday that they've seen no evidence that Iraq had anything to do with September 11th. Yet on Meet the Press Sunday, the vice president said Iraq was a geographic base for the terrorists. And he also said, I don't know or we don't know when asked if there was any involvement. Your critics say that this is some effort, some deliberate effort to blur the line and confuse people. How would you answer that?
No, we've had no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th. Now, what the vice president said was that he has been involved with al-Qaeda. And al-Zarqawi, al-Qaeda operative, was in Baghdad. He's the guy that ordered the killing of a U.S. diplomat.
You liar.
He's a man who's still running loose, involved with the Poisons Network.
What?
Involved with Ansar al-Islam. There's no question that Saddam Hussein had al-Qaeda ties.
No, no, stupid man, stupid little jug-eared freak man. No, there's no question that Saddam Hussein had no al-Qaeda ties, unless our entire intelligence establishment, the entire British intelligence establishment, the entire Israeli intelligence establishment, if all three, Mr. Bush, are absolutely wrong and useless, Mr. Saddam Hussein had no ties to al-Qaeda, you moron, you damn moron, you murderer. He stands there and says this stuff, see? Is it because he is this stupid or he thinks we are? Probably a combination of both. Last one. Here it is. Reporter says, Mr. President, how do you respond to criticism that you're asking for $20 billion in aid to reconstructing Iraq at a time when a lot of domestic work, such as the No Child Left Behind and the Help America Vote Act, are not being fully funded?
It is vital that we succeed in Iraq, that a free Iraq will make America more secure.
Jesus.
A free Iraq will change the dynamics of the Middle East, which will be important for peace. And I appreciate the support of Congress and the understanding of Congress that we will succeed in Iraq. So the $20 billion is to help rehabilitate that country.
Yeah, okay. Okay, dumb man. Okay, stupid man. Oh, my God.
Is you the law? He rides from Texas to enforce the law. Well, I'm alone.
Where will you be the next time your allergy strikes? Inside? Outside? In your car? Now you can take non-drowsy allergy medicine right when you need it. Announcing quick-dissolving Allivert. It starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue without water. Allivert is prescription-strength, non-drowsy, 24-hour relief. Even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Two down, one to go for the United Auto Workers. After reaching tentative new contracts with Daimler Chrysler and Ford Motor Company on Monday, bargaining continues with General Motors. The union said it would not compromise on issues of job security and the costs of health care, but details leaked about the proposed Chrysler contract paint a very different picture. As many as seven U.S. factories may be closed, putting as many as 9,000 out of work. The costs of prescription drugs are also scheduled to rise for union workers at Chrysler. To make it easier to swallow, Chrysler workers are promised a $3,000 signing bonus and a regular schedule of raises.
Victory for labor unions and the First Amendment at Walmart. A judge with the National Labor Relations Board in South Carolina ruled yesterday that the retailer illegally muzzled employees who spoke about union organizing on the job. Walmart had argued that the discussions violated its no solicitation policy. The judge also found that Walmart illegally used wage increases as a means to entice workers away from union organizing. A spokesperson for the United Food and Commercial Workers suggests that Walmart employees seeking a raise should simply begin talking about forming a union.
Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American workers may be sick and dying, casualties to the Cold War. They worked in factories conscripted into government service for the design and manufacture of nuclear weapons. Although the government has set up a compensation fund for workers with radiation-related health problems, it will only compensate those who were exposed while the work took place. The problem is many of these plants remained contaminated with uranium dust and other toxins for years after the weapons work ended. And while there's evidence that the government knew this, those workers are not eligible for federal aid. So far, more than 28,000 claims have been denied.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like From Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the sake of peace in this world, the United States must maintain every advantage in weaponry.
Yeah, that's pretty frightening. Here's a guy who lies to get us into war. Against some a country run by a half-baked little dictator, little tin-horn dictator, a country that's been under international sanctions for 12 years, a country that's been bombed for 12 years. He lies about that, and now the United States Senate, by a vote of 53-41, has approved this criminal administration's plans to research new battlefield uses for nuclear weapons and to improve the U.S. capacity to make and test them. There's a very interesting article that I will post at my website when the program's over tonight. It's written by Dave Zweifel. He is the editor of Madison Capital Times in Madison, Wisconsin. The headline is, Bush Would Use Many Nukes, a professor warns. It's a professor, John Swamley. He teaches Christian ethics at the St. Paul School of Theology in Kansas City. And you got to read this. So rather than get into it on the air, I will post it on my website when the program's over. But as far as giving Bush permission here, to continue the funding the development of these so-called mini nukes. Keep in mind, and John in San Diego called my attention to this, the Democrats not even bothering to vote on this. And they're all presidential, well, four of them are presidential candidates. John Edwards, Bob Graham, John Kerry, Joe Lieberman. None of those four Democrats voted on this measure to turn over to George Bush tiny little nuclear weapons. As John wrote in, the single most disgusting thing about who voted for who voted for what column of this article, and the article that I'm going to post from Commentary's News Center lists everybody who voted, either for, against, or not voting. But John says the single most disgusting thing about this is the Democrats, that several Democrats, he says, isn't so much that several Democrats voted to allow an administration that's already lied in order to wage war and already lied about weapons use, casualties, intense results, costs, and on and on. I expect those pigs to follow their own sick mental pathologies and crap on their country for their own personal gain. What makes me sick is the list of who abstain from voting on an issue whose importance to this nation and the world cannot be underestimated. John Edwards, Bob Graham, John Kerry, Joe Lieberman. And then John says, and these people expect our votes? Well, no, they won't get mine, John, and obviously they're not going to get yours either. So check out the website when the program's over tonight. I want you to read Dave Zweifel's article, and the one from Common Dreams. From our Perth, Australia, Bureau Chief, Fred. Good evening, Mike and Kathy. Talking about what comes out of the mouth of babes, primary school teacher here in Australia was recently confronted by her grade 3 class, these are 8-year-olds, with questions about the war on terrorism and Australia's involvement in it. The teacher sensed the children's anxiety over this issue and their desire to talk about it, so she organized a debate. During the debate, the children discussed issues to the best of their understanding and drew to their innocent conclusion the following. Both John Howard and George Bush should be put in jail because they are the people who scare us the most. Where the hell are we going? Kindest regards, Fred. Perth, Australia. And from Trey in Dallas, Mike, I distinctly remember hearing Sean Hannity say a few weeks ago that his sources are telling him that David Kaye has all the goods on the weapons of mass destruction and that his, Sean's listeners, should not let their hearts be troubled about liberals questioning the president's integrity on this issue. I also heard Monica Crowley disconnect a caller who was questioning the weapons of mass destruction issue while subbing for a local right-wing talk show host. She also said her sources are reassuring her about David Kaye's findings and everyone should be patient. So what gives? Are they just buying time for the administration so it could explain itself? Or is there an October surprise in the works? Trey in Dallas. Trey, there's no telling what this criminal, filthy administration will do. And again, like I said earlier tonight, the one source that I have on this is the Times of London, the Sunday Times, that categorically stated that people within the Blair government have said this report is not going to see the light of day. We have had 1,400 people there for what now? 4 months. Nothing. Nothing. Not even traces. Not even residue. You know, if you're running a chemical or a biological weapons assembly plant or development plant or laboratories, there will be footprints. I hate that term. There will be residue. There will be evidence. Nothing. Nothing. Sean Hannity can kiss my ass. Sean Hannity is a liar. Sean Hannity is a thug. Sean Hannity is did for Newt Gingrich what Monica did for Bill Clinton, and that's why Sean Hannity is where he is now. This is one of the most ignorant people on radio, Sean Hannity. If Sean Hannity tells you that it's 11:39 Eastern time right now, check your watch. All right. Stop it, Mike. Ruth is calling from Orlando. Hey, Ruth. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You know, one of these days you're going to have to just, like, really say what you feel.
If I did,
otherwise you're going to get sick, you know?
No, I'm fine. If I said what I really felt, I'd probably lose my job.
Oh, my God. There's limits?
Yeah, there is.
So, back before the war started, you just mentioned Sean Hannity, so I'm going to tell you my Sean story.
Yeah.
The last time I listened to Sean Hannity was I was driving to Daytona Beach to get on the bus to go to Washington to protest the war, which I did, and it was the first time I'd ever done it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an awesome, very cool experience. But I'm listening to Sean while we're driving over there, and he's talking to Ollie North.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And he's saying, Ollie North is in our fabulous tent cities that we've set up for our troops in Kuwait, and our troops are there, and our troops are you know, they're over there to do what they have to do, and we're going to go to Ollie and talk to him. And he goes, Ollie, you know, these terrible traitorous people that are talking down, you know, what mm-hmm. we're going to do, you know, are they having a negative effect on our troops? And Ollie goes, I got to tell you, you know, we've got these great tent cities set up for our guys, and in every single one of these tents, there's a television set, and every one of those television sets is tuned to Fox. So these guys are not getting depressed because they know about all the support that they're getting. And I'm thinking, all those tents were put up by Halliburton's subsidiary, Kellogg and Root.
Mm-hmm.
Of
oh,
course
sure.
they all have televisions in them, and of course they're all turned to Fox.
Absolutely.
But that's not why I called you tonight.
Okay.
Okay. The lady that was talking about the veterans and why they don't know about the you know wounded that have died.
Right.
I was reading Tom Paine's site today, and they were talking in Tom Paine about the veterans funding and how it's being cut. But one of the things that they were talking about is they were talking about all the areas where it's being cut and
mm-hmm.
what's being done. But there's one part where they mentioned that the Department of Defense maintains a registry of all veterans, including soldiers now returning from Iraq.
Right.
But the DOD has not turned any of this information over to the VA.
It makes you realize, or speculate, I should say, why. And I think the reason is, from what I'm getting from several reliable websites, is that the numbers of American wounded are so much larger than what has been reported on American media, that it would stagger the American public.
I think it would. And when these guys get back and find out that they're not going to have, they're not going to be taken care of, and you know, and right now they're trying to push through the thing that if you are actually retired military, that if you have a disability, a military disability,
right,
that they are going to subtract however much you are getting in your disability payment from your retirement.
Oh, yeah. These people are just unconscionable.
They are highly unconscionable.
And yet, our military still stands and salutes this thug and still applauds
him. Not all of them.
I hope you've
got to understand that when he goes to these places, number one, the people that gather around him, yes, they're supporting him. But these, I am ex-military, too, and I am telling you, you get a direct order.
Yeah.
You do not go around any visiting officer or any visiting higher up like that, especially not the commander-in-chief, and
right.
show any kind. You, oh, no way. No. Oh, my goodness. You have no idea. And that's a direct order.
Yeah.
I mean, you...
I guess what I'm talking about are the soldiers who the veterans, the people who should know better, the people who have been there, who have done that, the people who understand Bush's cowardice, who understand the murderous attitude of George Bush and how it affects our soldiers and their families. I can't believe that any veteran in this country would support George Bush. This is the thing that continues to just astound and amaze me.
It does me too, but my brother's, I've got a brother who's also a veteran, and he is a staunch. He's a cop in Detroit, and by God, you know, I mean, he's a racist cop in Detroit, and he's complete.
Well, that might have something to do with it, huh?
It definitely does.
Right.
But here's my other outrage for the day. Then I'm going to tell you something happy.
Okay.
Here's my other outrage for the day. This is a Rick Santorum quote.
Okay, let's hear it. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is incredible. He just voted against a bill that would add $11.25 billion in funding to provide child care for welfare moms so that they can work and let their kids can have child care.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
He voted it down because we can't afford it.
Right.
Because we're busy in Iraq.
That's right.
His quote is, ready?
Yes.
Making people struggle a little bit is not necessarily the worst thing.
Don't you just want to slap him right across
Didn't
his filthy mouth?
Didn't he just vote himself a pay raise?
Oh, sure he did. Sure he did. They all did. Yeah,
is there
sure.
Any limit?
No.
No, there isn't.
No, there's no limit. The hypocrisy of this people is astonishing. It makes me want to climb walls.
It makes your skin crawl.
I know.
Okay.
All right, last thing.
Now I'm going to go to my happy note.
Okay, go.
Okay, you have the George Bush doll.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming. I've
got
a couple more dolls for you.
Yeah?
We get the Karl Rove SS doll.
Right.
You can move the arms and legs, but only in a certain, you know, one arm goes up. That's it.
One arm goes up, right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then I have the Ann Coulter doll.
Oh, God. Oh, now, be careful. This is family radio.
We're gonna give her a beret.
We're going to
put her in camouflage.
Yeah.
And we're going to call her Baghdad Barbie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something entirely different.
Come on.
Thanks, Ruth.
Bye.
All right. You have a nice evening. I thought Ruth was, when she said the Ann Coulter, never mind. Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing. How are you?
It's amazing. You know, maybe we ought to translate all this stuff into football terms, and then people would understand what we're talking about.
That's a good, Republicans would.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
I was reading an article in today's paper, in my local paper, from a priest from the Greek church.
Yeah.
And he was quoting John Quincy Adams.
Yeah.
And he said, speaking of the wisdom of the founders of this country, urged that the American Republic always stand up for, quote, freedom and justice for all, but not to venture abroad in search of monsters to destroy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Quote. I mean, you know.
Well, the framers were against our agreements. Now, granted, it was 200 and some years ago. The world has changed. But there was some wisdom there, especially about not getting involved in foreign wars.
Yeah, chasing monsters.
Yeah.
And one thing, a little bit on the lighter note, I know you don't like to read, but this is a couple letters, or sentences. They were talking about Wesley Clark announcing for president today.
Mm-hmm.
And they were comparing him to Clinton. As the Arkansas Democrat Gazette noted, Clark and Bill Clinton are Arkansans, who grew up Baptist without their natural fathers. They both met their wives while in school in the East, and they were both Rhodes Scholars. God, they have somebody that can talk. He's also fluent in Spanish, too, by the way.
Right.
And then finally, both set out to replace a president named Bush.
That's funny, yeah. You know, I think we ought to talk about Wesley Clark tomorrow night. We never did get to it tonight.
Well,
I think
we'll
have we should have a quote of his announcement tomorrow.
He was, let's see, what else did it say here? That he was the first in his class at West Point.
Right.
He was a he got a master's degree at Oxford in philosophy, politics, and economics, and he's also got a second master's from the military in military science at the U.S. Army Command and General Staff College. I mean, golly, you suppose he can not only read and speak and make sense? I mean, I'm still for Kucinich, but still, it would be interesting to have somebody in the White House again that knows how to.
Well, again, I think we need to. I think
not bow-legged.
I think we need to discuss Wesley Clark's announcement tomorrow on this program. I'll try to remember to do it because I think it is important. I think it is something that Democrats need to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, thanks, Marge.
Sure thing. Take care.
All right, you too. Appreciate you checking in. Aaron is calling from Indianapolis. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Hey, go Wesley.
Yeah.
Even though I'm a Dean man.
yeah. That's what I want to talk about tomorrow night because this adds a whole new element to the mix.
I'm behind them all.
I hear you.
Hey, I was calling because, I noticed you've had a few folks call in and ask about a website for, the casualty list.
Right.
Well, I've been going to this website almost ever since the war, and it's a pretty good website. It's www.pigsty. It's PIGSTYE.net /Iraq.
Really? Pigsty.net/Iraq.
Yeah, and it's a pretty good site. Well, according to this site right now, there's 355 coalition forces killed in Iraq since Operation Iraqi Freedom, 304 of them U.S., 50 U.K., and one Denmark.
Uh-huh.
177 have died since the official end of the war on May 1st.
Right.
That was 163 Americans. 13 UK and one from Denmark. And he's got two new stories on this site of the last two soldiers that have died.
All right, I'll put that up on, I'll link to it, and I'm sure people will check it out. Pigsty.net/Iraq.
That's right.
And pigsty is spelled PIGSTYE. There's an E on it?
It's PIGSTYE.
Great.
.net.
Okay, thank
you. It's
a
really good site. And what's good about it, you can leave a comment on it.
Oh, great.
And it's
all right, Aaron, let me put you on hold a second. We'll come right back.
Time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6. I've noticed a lot of middle-aged corporate types on motorcycles trying to recapture a rebellious youth they never really had. They hit the highway like a bat out of accounting, but all they seem to be rebelling against is a full head of hair. But they can still call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 for a place to rest and brush any dirt off their brand new leathers. I'm Tom, born to be mild Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a Core Hotel.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, I'll be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show is at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener-friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network. For more information, go to iemericaradio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. We're just about out of time. Aaron, go ahead. Wrap it up for me, pal.
Hey, did you happen to say that Evan Bayh was one of them Democrats that voted for this nukes?
I didn't say it, but he's on the list. Yes, he voted. He was one of the few Democrats, along with this thug moron we have here in Georgia, Zell Miller. Evan Bayh voted to give George Bush control over mini nukes.
Yeah. You know what? You know, we lost our governor here.
I know.
A couple of days ago.
Right.
And I was telling my wife, you know, I voted for Evan Bayh. I voted for this guy six times. And,
maybe.
I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, it's too bad that it wasn't him.
Oh.
You know, I that's how much I hate this bastard.
I hear you. Aaron, thanks for checking in, Dan.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Are we allowed to say bastard on the air? Oh, ha-ha, Malloy. I mean, come on. Nancy in East Tennessee. Boy, you know, we're down to about a minute and a half, dear heart. I am sorry.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have you guys back. Hope you had a great vacation.
We did indeed.
Okay, I have a quick point here.
Okay.
A couple of quick points. I'll try to make them real quick. George Bush's new deal to fight terrorism now seems to be a better them than us scenario.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people are questioning the Christian aspect to this. I mean, better them than us. He's supposed to be such a good Christian, right? And compassionate. I mean, these Iraqi people lived under Saddam for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
went through the 91 war,
uh-huh.
went through 12 years of just barbaric sanctions against their country.
Right.
Now George Bush has opened the country up as a terrorist haven and saying better them than us.
Yeah.
It's appalling.
It is.
It is really appalling.
It is.
Now, the next thing was, okay, every one of us has, I'm sure, I have a couple. Of right-wing, ill-informed or uninformed people in our family, right?
Yes, we do.
So these George Bush dolls, I'm going to buy a couple. I know who they're going to be sent to. I am building little bars. I'm going to put baking soda under the nose. I'm going to put some little lines on the bar. I'm going to try to find me some little long necks. And I'm going to sew the letters AWOL across the back, and I'm going to stuff his crotch with cotton balls.
Good for
and
you,
I'm
Nancy.
I'm going to send them to my brother and okay. my nephew-in-law.
That's Nancy, that sounds wonderful. Dear Heart, we're out of time.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Nancy. That was great. Program engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Thanks to Mark Marshall, Maximum Interactive, our webmaster, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Two more Hightower books tomorrow night. I'll see you then. Take care. I hope. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. With winds over 105 miles an hour, Hurricane Isabel is still considered a Category 2 storm, but forecasters still say it could be upgraded to a more powerful Category 3 system. WeatherBug chief meteorologist Mark Hoeksema says the weather buoys give them a first look at Isabel.
What this tells us is that with the eye of the hurricane still hundreds of miles offshore, the scope of Isabel's damaging winds could exceed 300 miles from her center. That means a huge swath of land is at risk for storm damage.
The center of Isabel is located close to 200 miles off the coast of North Carolina and is expected to make landfall by midday tomorrow somewhere along that same stretch of coastline. From there, it should start to track northwest into Virginia. The BBC has admitted making mistakes in its long-running row over a report on the British government's Iraqi weapons dossier. Reporter Andrew Gilligan and the corporation's head of news were cross-examined at the inquiry into the death of a government scientist. Suzanne Chislett reports. BBC.